Glad October is here. Nice change in the weather. September was a bit of a rough month for myself and maybe for you as well. It started on September the 1st. My aunt called me around noon, and she asked me to come to the hospital because my uncle was not doing well. She asked me to come and pray, and so I went to the hospital, and sure enough, my uncle was doing poorly. We talked, and with my aunt's agreement, I sprinkle baptized my uncle in his hospital bed. He had trusted in Christ almost 2 years ago, at least. And then 2 hours later, that afternoon, September the 1st, he passed away and went into the presence of Jesus. 10 days later, conducted his funeral service. And so September was starting out to be a challenging month. A couple days after the funeral, people in our family started to get sick. And maybe some of you are experiencing sicknesses yourself. Anyone in here having sickness in their family right now? Yeah, a couple of hands here. It hit our family. My own wife was not feeling well, a little under the weather. Pamela had a fever one day. Later on in the month, I heard this gasping in the morning at 4:45, and sorry, brother, I didn't ask your permission, but Nathaniel was throwing up at 4:45 in the morning and throwing up all over the floor. And, of course, Dad had to clean it up, stayed home from school the whole day. Next day, Gabriel comes home, and he had a fever, and we tried to give him medicine right before we went to sleep, but, of course, he didn't want to wake up to take his medicine that night, but at 1:45 in the morning, he runs down to our door and, "Where's my medicine?" So that was a 1:45 a.m. in the morning, and woke up and got him some medicine. And the next day, I myself was ill. I had flu-like symptoms. Daniel came down with a fever. So September was a challenging month. Perhaps one of the most challenging was in between all of this. One night during the shower, Vicky noticed that the water was staying in our shower. And later on, water came into our master bathroom bathtub. I heard some gurgling in the toilets. And as this continued, we started to notice some undesirables in the water that was in our shower and bathtub, toilet paper and other elements of the human body that is not very appropriate for me to mention, started to appear. Yes, our sewer was backing up. And now I'm a missionary and I can deal with a lot, but even I had to immediately attend to feces in our bathroom, and so we called the Roto-Rooter, and they took care of that for us. So September, in many ways, was a difficult month, a challenging month. Glad October is here, but September, in many ways, was a typical month. It was messy and dirty, and that's life. Life is messy. Life can be messy. And we will face mess in life. And as we've been talking about the healthy Christian family, it's when we face the mess in life that it's critical for us to stand strong together as a family, to not peel apart when there's conflict and mess that we face. We've been talking about how the Lord builds the healthy Christian family, how we need to put Jesus as first and have no other idols, how the husband and wife serve together the family and building into our children. And today, we want to continue, how can we build the strong Christian family so that we can stand strong when we face the mess in life. I want us to look in Acts chapter 1 as we continue and learn standing strong as a family when we face the mess of life. And what are some principles? We'll be looking mostly at chapter 1, verse 14, and I'll be looking at other selected verses through the New Testament. How do we build a strong family as we face the mess of life? Looking in chapter 1, verse 12, reading, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." A little background. The main message of the book of Acts is the work of the Holy Spirit in extending the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And Luke, our narrator, has written Luke, but he's also now continuing. And here in Acts, Jesus has displayed that he is the one who can be the Savior of the world through his resurrection. He's commanded his disciples to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And he's about to further confirm that he is worthy of our allegiance and authority by ascending into heaven. But the disciples are at a crossroads, and they're at a point of crisis and a decision to be made, and that is that they are now seeking to decide upon who will replace Judas, who had betrayed Jesus. And it's in this context that we find verses 12 through 14. They were at a point where they needed to make a decision. And one of the first things that they did is they gathered together to pray together. And so as we seek to face the mess of life and move through it together, one of the first things we can take away from this is that we need to be committed. We need to commit to pray with one another, be devoted to prayer. Commit to prayer. This word here in verse 14 is devoting themselves. And we see this word in other parts of the Bible, but the Bible really doesn't exhort us to devote ourselves to many things. One of the things it does exhort us to devote ourselves to is prayer. And we see that here in verse 14, that this group of apostles and Jesus, both his biological family and his spiritual family, were devoting themselves to prayer. Yet we see this in other parts of the scripture as well. We see this here. They were devoting themselves to prayer in Acts 1:14. But also in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, as we learn about what makes up the church, we see this word again. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. We see it in Acts 6:4, where the apostles told the church that we will not wait on tables, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. In Romans 12:12, we see rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. So when we face the mess in life, as we seek to move together through it as a family, let us commit to prayer. Let us be devoted to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, Colossians 4:2. So as we commit to prayer, we also, how do we do that? We need to think through how we, as a church, how we as a family can be committed to prayer. One of the ways is just as we go through life, let us be committed to prayer. That's what it says in 1 Thessalonians verse 5:17, to pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6:18 says, with all prayer and petition, at all times, pray in the Spirit. So how can we do that? Part of praying without ceasing, praying at all times in the Spirit, is as we go through life, let us be in an attitude of prayer. Let us have that spirit of prayer. So obviously, we can't pray at all times in the Spirit because sometimes I'm walking in life. But I can pray while I'm walking. Or if I'm eating with someone or talking with someone, I can be in an attitude of prayer, in a spirit of prayer. While I'm going through the normal rhythms and daily activities of life, we can have that spirit of prayer. And it may involve eliminating some distractions so that we can pray. It may involve, as you're driving to work, that I myself have to turn off sports radio so that I can be in an attitude of prayer. So as we go through life, let us be in a spirit and attitude of prayer. Let us be devoted to prayer. But sometimes it also helps to carve out specific times to pray. That we don't just pray as we're going along in life, but that I'm singularly devoted to focusing on God with no other distractions. And we see this principle in the scriptures as well. Luke paints this picture for us quite well through his gospel and in Acts. In Luke chapter 5:16, it says of Jesus, but he himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it tells us, and it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray. And he spent the whole night in prayer to God. Isn't that exciting? Some of you want to stay up all night, you know, to study for an exam because you think that would be really cool. Well, I invite you, participate in an all-night prayer time. So we see Jesus himself often pulling away. The Gospels paint this picture of where people don't know where Jesus is sometimes. And they're looking for Jesus. Hey, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? And there he is. He went off somewhere. He's praying. Where's Jesus? He's in the mountains. He's praying. He's out in the wilderness praying. You know, they're trying to find Jesus, but he's out praying. Okay? And Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, and yet he has to, you know, he's often ducking away, running off to the wilderness, praying. How much more do Wei Lim, you know, no special talents, no Son of God here, how much more do I need to carve out time, special times, to get away with God and pray. So let us be committed to prayer. Let us be devoted to prayer. So I exhort us to carve out times to pray, commit to prayer, be devoted to prayer. When we face the mess in life, how can we move together through it as a family? Let us be devoted, be committed to prayer. Continuing along with this theme, though, prayer not only is something we want to be committed to, but why? Why? What is one reason that we will want to be committed to prayer? Is that prayer unifies or prayer consolidates. We see this principle here in this verse, Acts chapter 1:14, because did you know that here in Acts chapter 1:14, we have the first car in the Bible? Did you know that? Who knows that? That this Acts chapter 1:14 is the first car in the Bible. Anybody know? Yeah, you know, the first tennis match in the Bible is in Genesis. Joseph served in Pharaoh's court, right? Well, here we have the first car in the Bible. What's that? They were all in one accord. Okay, now I got a Civic, but that's okay. They were all in one accord. So we have the first car in the Bible. And we see that this unity, this one accord, they were all of one mind, is a principle that is found in Scripture as we pray together, because prayer unifies, prayer consolidates. Also, if you look in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we see this. And they were continually devoting themselves, we read this again, to the apostles' preaching, into fellowship, into the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Actually, it's verse 46. Day by day, continuing with one mind. That's a mistake. It should be 2:46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. And the sense there is in the temple, they're praying together. It's that same word again. It's in one accord. Because prayer consolidates us. It unifies us. Also in chapter 4, verse 24, we see this same word again, as this one accord. Verse 24 says, and when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said. So there's a unifying, a consolidating aspect as we pray together. And so I want to encourage us as the family of God, and as families, to pray through our decisions together. As we pray here in the book of Acts, at the beginning, they were making a decision on who would be the next apostle to replace Judas. And so it was a decision that they had to make as a church. And so they came together in prayer. And so we, in the same way, as families and as the family of God, as we wrestle through decisions, let us pray through our decisions together. My family and I, we've made many decisions. When we decided to move back from Asia, we prayed together as a family. When we decided where God would have us to serve, whether it would be at KCCC or not, we prayed together as a family. Recently, we decided to move just a mile away from our old house. And as we were making that decision, we prayed together as a family. We here at KCCC are in the process of making decisions. We're constantly making decisions on who can be Sunday school teachers, who can be deacons and serve on the council, who can be elders, and yes, very soon, who can be our pastors. And so let us, as the family of God, come together and pray in one accord. So pray through your decisions together. Also, align your prayers with the mission of God. Align your prayers with the mission of God. Each family, each church is on mission. And as we are on mission together, we unify. Sometimes the best defense is having a good offense. You know, you want to have the ball sometimes. And as you move forward together for the goal of winning, that keeps you together. And so our family, we are praying on mission together as we pray through, are there neighbors, are there relatives, are there people groups that God wants us to align our prayers in mission with? Brother Eddie, could you help me out there? Can you hold up that chalkboard? It's blank right now, but sometimes we put prayer requests on the chalkboard. Thank you, brother. And there's different creative ways and ideas that you as a family or as the family of God can pray together. That, I think it says, when the prayers go up, the blessings come down, and we need to fill out our chalkboard. But I want to encourage each of us to be praying for missional alignment, missional prayer requests as families. Who does God want you to reach as a family? And certainly as a church, we need to keep praying, who is God calling us to reach? And we need to keep praying for our missionaries. So align our prayers with the mission of God. Lastly, pray corporately. Pray corporately. Now, obviously, there are many times where we do want to pull away and be alone and pray to God. But throughout the scriptures, we are similarly exhorted to pray with others. Right here in Acts 1, we see that there were at least the 11 apostles and Jesus' mom and his brothers, and they were all praying together. In verse 15, we see that there may have been as many as 120 people praying together. And so, as we move together as a family, we want to pray corporately, pray with others. Again, this is all throughout the scriptures. In Acts 2:42, in Acts 13:2-3, we see that the whole church was praying together. In chapter 12, verse 5, the church was praying together for the release of Peter. In Acts 14:23, they prayed together as the church when they were appointing elders. In chapter 20, verse 36, the Ephesian elders prayed together with Paul. They wept with him on the beach as he was leaving them. So, 1 Timothy 2:8 exhorts us, I want the men in every place to pray. James 5, 14-15 exhorts us, if there's anyone who's sick among you, let him call upon the elders of the church and have them pray over you, for the prayer of righteous man, righteous men availeth much. And then even in the Old Testament, there's national days where they call the nation of Israel to collectively and corporately come before God in prayer. So, okay. So I want to exhort us, I want to encourage us to be committed to prayer, because prayer consolidates and let us pray corporately. So today, this morning, would you talk with your spouse and agree upon praying with your spouse regularly and before God in alignment with his mission? Vicky and I, we seek to pray together at least 3 to 4 times a week, it ends up being. Friday, we both have our own prayer meetings, but Monday through Thursday, we're committed to praying together. Saturday, we kind of take off, and then Sunday, we're all here at church. But so start as a couple, but not only pray as a couple, but if you have children, pray together with your children as a family. Again, our family, it's not anything long or extended. It might be 5 minutes, 10 minutes together as a family, and you can be creative. Think of your own ideas. At times we bring out the chalkboard and we have prayer requests, but pray with your children as well. Children, pray with your parents. Maybe you're the only Christian in your family. Well, that's okay. If you have other Christians in your family, pray with them. If there's no other Christian in your family, then come pray with the family of God. That's why we have Titanium Men at 6 a.m. in the morning. So you guys, on Fridays, so you guys can come out and pray. That's why we have Tapestry, so that women can come and pray. If those times don't work for you, find another time and gather with other sisters and brothers in Christ and pray together. So, brothers and sisters, as we seek to move through the mess of life, let us commit to prayer, because prayer consolidates. And remember, let us pray corporately. I want us to spend some time in prayer right here this morning. And so, just with the person next to you, we have some requests that we list in our bulletin regularly. And along with what we've shared this morning, we need to pray. Let's pray for decisions that our church council will be making this upcoming Saturday. They have, the church council has its meeting. And then this Thursday is Bring Your Bible to School Day. This can be a missional aspect. We can also bring our Bibles to work, by the way, okay? BYBS, BYBW. I appreciate Brother Andrew told me he has his Bible right there. Sorry, brother, I didn't ask you if I could share this, but he has his Bible right there on his desk, in his work desk. So praise the Lord. We can bring our Bibles to school and work, and let's pray for that as we seek to be missional for God. And then one of our supported missionaries, Miha, let's pray for her health and spiritual protection. You know, where she's serving in Asia, they're starting to burn coal, and that affects her lungs. We have very nice fall October weather, but in many parts of the world, pollution goes really bad at this time. So please pray for her. She's serving in Asia, reaching out to Muslims. But praise God, she has 7 Muslim background believers that are meeting for a Bible study. So would you pray for them and pray for their protection and for their boldness to share with other Muslims? So right now, can we? If you're with your family, this is a perfect time to apply the message. Pray with your dad, pray with your son, pray with your sister. If not, let's pray with the family of God, just with 2 or 3 people around us. And we'll close our time this morning with group prayer. Okay? So go ahead and pray for a few minutes this morning. And after about 3 or 4 minutes, I will close us in prayer. If you don't feel comfortable, just join with others and agree with them as they pray out loud. But go ahead and pray out loud in groups of 2 or 3. Okay? Pray. Let's see, do we have the...